your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Psalms, Psalm 35. Psalm 35. And we are going to read verses 1 through 12 together. I know it's a little longer passage, but there's a reason for this, and I want to help you today. Psalm 35, verses 1 through 12. We'll read it responsively. I'll pray. The choir will come, and then I'll come back and preach. Brother Joe, I plan on being done right at noon today, just so you know. Doesn't mean I'm going to accomplish it, but I'm planning on it. Psalm 35, verses 1 through 12. Let's read responsively. Ready? Plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive with me. Fight against them that fight against me. Take hold of shield and buckler, and stand up for mine help. Draw out also spear, and stop the way against them that persecute me. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Let them be confounded and put to shame that seek after my soul. Let them be turned back and brought to confusion that devise my hurt. Let them be as chaff before the wind. Let the angel of the Lord chase them. Let their way be dark and slippery. And let the angel of the persecute them, for without cause have they hid for me their net in a pit, which without cause they have digged for my soul. Let destruction come upon him at unawares, and let his net that he hath hid catch himself. In that very destruction let him fall. My soul shall be joyful in the Lord, it shall rejoice in his salvation. All my bones shall say, Lord, who is like unto thee, which deliverest the poor from him that is too strong for him, yea, the poor and the needy from him that spoileth him. False witnesses did rise up. They laid to my charge things I knew not. They rewarded me evil for good to the spoiling of my soul. And let's pray. Father, we need you today. Holy Spirit, I ask you, help me. Help me be a help to your people. Lord, take the truth of today, burn it deep in our hearts and our minds and our lives. Help us to live it, please, in Jesus' name, amen. And I'm going to try to get out of here. I'll be glad when we have more room. Let me say, some of you need to join our choir. There's half a dozen of you out there that do know how to sing. I need some more men and ladies to help us. You say, well, preacher, that's not me. I don't sing well. You don't need to sing well. You just need to sing. And it'd be good for you. We practice 5:30 Sunday night. So it's just about 20 minutes before church on Sunday night. Love to have several of you. I've heard some of you sing in church. I know which ones to go after. Trust me. So I need you all to jump in and help us with that. This message was brought to you by. Anyway, Psalm 35. Psalm 35 is one of those places that I go when the attack comes. Psalm 35, it was given to us by God for times of attack, for times of opposition. We all face people who are going to go against right. We all face people who say things about us they shouldn't say. I know it doesn't happen to you, but it will happen. How many of you have ever had somebody say something mean about you? Raise your hand. All right. It doesn't feel very good, does it? You can put your hands down. Here's the thing. We have one of two ways to react. We can react by doing the same thing that the person who said something mean about us does, or we can do what God says. I'm going to tell you something. Our flesh wants to do what the other person did. If your flesh is anything like my flesh, sometimes it's hard to engage brain and not engage tongue and the rest of my body. It is hard sometimes. We face a lost world trying to destroy us. Who would have ever thought that on the floor of the United States Congress that a woman would be allowed who is voted in to stand up and call the President of the United States some of the most filthy, vile words in the English language. And on top of that, brag about the fact that she said it to her young child. Number one, a woman shouldn't talk like that. Number two, you should never talk like that in front of a child. Number three, and maybe most of all, it should never be done by somebody who's supposed to be a professional about the President of the United States. I don't care whether you like him or not, you shouldn't be, you should respect his position. Now, there is an evil out there that wants to destroy right. We have liberals and communists in Congress who want to destroy that everything America stands for. This Cortez commie, Bernie Sanders, Nancy Pelosi, Elizabeth Warren, Maxine, I knew it was some, yeah, good night, Schumer, Donald Duck, you know, anyway, those people are literally standing against what America stands for. We have a news media that wants to give us a gender-neutral, borderless world unless we believe in morality and right. They attack you. If you're not an LGBTQ or the rest of the alphabet, and if you're not for tearing down every border in the world, the United Nations voted this week, just so you know, that they believe every country should disannul all borders. Called globalism. It's a precursor to the Antichrist, just so you know. Now, I say that to say this. We're out of here before it takes place. Don't worry. It's not going to happen yet, and it's still several years off, but the rapture's getting closer every breath. Amen? We have an educational system more interested in propagandizing than educating, and they don't care what the facts are. Nancy Pelosi was challenged by the Homeland Security Director this week. And Nancy Pelosi says, well, I disagree with your facts. And the lady stood up to her and said, Madam, you have to understand something. They're not my facts. They are the facts. She said, well, I don't agree with your facts. So Nancy's trying to make her own facts to make her own propagandizing. If we're not careful, we can allow opposition and the people who try to destroy us to get us down, depressed, soured in attitude and personality. Can I tell you something? I'm not going to let a bunch of liberal idiots control my attitude. Amen. I'm not about to let it take place. God actually says in verse number 12 of Psalm 35, one of the most amazing statements in the Bible, they rewarded me evil for good, watch this, to the spoiling of my soul. I want to talk to you today about don't let your soul be spoiled. Don't let your soul be spoiled. You know, you don't have to let any attack spoil your soul. You don't have to allow any fat-mouthed idiot to spoil your attitude. That's not real good preaching. That's not real nice, but I said it. You see, there are things that are spoiled, they stink. They don't smell good. Do you ever have you cleaned your refrigerator out since Christmas? You know, the things that have stuff growing on them, and you lift the lid and, whoa, can't even recognize that. Here's a science fair project, you know? I call it health food because it's got its own penicillin grown right into it. Amen. Things that are spoiled smell bad. They're not consumable. You can't eat them. One of my kids one month, a long time ago, he had had yogurt, but he had it in his backpack for a couple weeks. And he got home one day and was hungry, and mom wouldn't give him a snack, and he was looking through his book bag and found that yogurt. I'm here to tell you, it only lasted him about 30 minutes. And then up from the grave, it arose. Because only God knows how many weeks old that yogurt was. And I don't know how he got it down. But it didn't stay down. You say, why? It was spoiled. I don't think he's ever eaten yogurt since. I'm not quite sure. Yeah. Now, wait a minute. I have to help you with something that to get the sermon, you have to understand. God made man with a body, a soul, and a spirit. Too many people think the soul and the spirit are the same thing, and they're not. Now, we know what our body is. That's this shell, this amazing display in front of you. Tried. I'm dropping weight. It all hit right there. I'm trying to work it off. I'm hoping it drops a little farther and comes out my feet. Man has a body and a soul and a spirit. Now, your body is the shell. It's what holds you inside. Okay? That's the external part that we see. Your soul is your personality, your attitude. It's what's on the inside of you, looking out your eyeballs. But then man was made with a spirit. And the spirit is that which allows us to communicate with God. Now watch this. A lost person only has a body and a soul. Once you get born again, according to the book of John chapter 3 and other places, the Bible says that once you're saved, your spirit is renewed. Romans chapter 8 and other places we'll get to later. And the renewing of the spirit, or the regeneration of the spirit, the regening of the spirit, the moment you get saved, your spirit is born again. That's why Nicodemus said in John chapter 3, what must I do to be saved? And Jesus said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the spirit is spirit. So it's not a matter of your soul being reborn, it's a matter of your spirit being reborn. When we go, and I'm going to explain something here, and this isn't in my sermon, but that's okay. When I go soul winning, Brother Mike, when I go soul winning, and I knock on the door, I'm not trying to win that person's soul to the Lord. I'm trying to win that person's soul to me so that I can open up the Bible, show them the scriptures, and that they would trust that to get themselves to heaven so that their spirit could be reborn. I can't go spirit winning. I can go soul winning. I can make myself likable enough and presentable enough to where somebody would listen to the gospel and get saved. That's what soul winning is. When somebody gets saved, it's not your soul that gets saved. It's your spirit that gets saved. The soul is that which communicates with each other. Now, I believe once a person gets saved, their soul can change. Everybody understand that? Because you can change what you are. But a person's soul is their personality, or that part of us that communicates with other people. Too many people think the soul and the spirit are the same thing, and they are not. Now, Genesis chapter 3, when man sinned, God said that in the day thou eatest the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt surely die. Did man's body die? Did man's soul die? No, it did not. What died? Man's spirit. Huh. So Adam and Eve's personality was still there. They were still able to communicate with each other, with God, with the devil, and the animals. But may I say this, so their soul didn't die, their body didn't die, their body began a death process. But what died the day that they sinned was their spirit, and that is what needed renewed. Now, in other words, your soul is the real you. Please pardon me, I have zero tolerance for racism in my body, trust me. I do not stand for it. I'm colorblind physically, as well as I don't care what color skin anybody has. Period. End of discussion. God loves us all. Red and yellow, black and white, green, purple, and chartreuse. God loves us all, and I can't tell the difference between most of them anyway. But I spent a lot of time around this country, and I was in deep south for a while, South Carolina. And black folks got soul. Mm-hmm. I've preached in some black churches. And I tell you what, they'll pull preach out of you. If you've got any preach in you at all, they'll pull it out of you. How many of you have ever been to a black church? All right? Y'all know what I'm talking about? You know, you got the preacher, and he's, do I have a witness now? Y'all know what I'm talking about? And the louder you get, the louder they get. And the more you get with it, the more they get with it. And man, it's just, it's tag team preaching almost. Now, wait a minute. They've got soul. You hear black folks sing, they sing with soul. Now, I don't always appreciate all the stuff. But I love hearing good black folks sing. Because, man, when they put everything they have into it. That's called singing with soul. It's not singing with spirit, it's singing with soul. Now, if you get a spiritual soul, that can be some powerful stuff. Now, in other words, your soul is you. It's your unique personality. It's the real you locked inside that body. God tells us that he does not want your soul to get spoiled. My dear friend, if you're saved and on your way to heaven, you have absolutely no reason to let your soul spoil. None whatsoever. I don't care the attack. I don't care what was said. I don't care what was done. I don't care who's trying to destroy you. You don't have to have a spoiled soul in life. Just what is the spoiling of a soul? I love this. Are you ready? Number one, spoiling comes by sitting too long unused. Go home to your refrigerator and find stuff that you made the week before Christmas. Are you going to eat it for lunch today? Probably not. Now, there are some things that might last, but most things aren't going to last that many weeks. You say, why? Because it's sat there unused, uneaten. It got pushed to the back of the refrigerator. And 14,277 other calories pushed in front of it. And then it got pushed farther back. And then it got pushed farther back. And all of a sudden you're wondering, I wonder what's in there. I forgot what it was. And then you pull it out. And you're like, I don't even know what's in there. And if you're a man, you say, honey, open the lid of this because you don't want to smell it. Am I right? My poor wife, God bless her. Her nose doesn't work like mine. I swear a woman does not have a sense of smell. That's why she can do diapers. But a man, man, my nose is way too sensitive for that. And I'm the one that gets to do the sniff test whether it's spoiled or not. Y'all know what I'm talking about? She'll have lunch meat or meat in there and she'll say, does this smell bad? I'm thinking, how can you not smell rotten meat? But she can't. She gets it 2 feet from me, throw it away. Now, I'm not smelling milk. I don't like milk to begin with, but boy, when that stuff curdles and gets sour. The thought of just smelling curdled milk just makes me want to run around the corner and throw up. Something that's spoiled gives off a soured or a dead smell, a rotten smell. Spoiled souls are a sour attitude. They're people that have a death or a stinky attitude. They're the people that there's nothing right in life. It's been too cloudy. We've had too much rain. I'm just a grump because I haven't seen sunshine. Well, take a picture of it and put it on your phone. Quit being such a spoiled sport. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm about to cut loose and preach now. Everything about you is negative and death. Marcia and Leanne and my wife were at the funeral yesterday. I was a little surprised it wasn't a worse attitude than was there. But there were some people there that were a little bit prudish. I broke through it pretty fast. I told them it's okay to laugh. I had a couple of them go. I preached about Tony being the good Samaritan. And how that a lawyer had challenged Jesus about knowing for sure you could go to heaven. I said, go figure that. They had that problem with lawyers back then, too. And one of my neighbors, who is hard-nosed Catholic, when the moment I said that, that one statement's what won him. He went, yeah. I said something similar to it again a little bit later, and he was, yeah. And it's no wonder he and his wife was firsthand to go up for salvation. For the first time, somebody, it wasn't all ashes to ashes, dust to dust, and holy, and spit on everything, and here we go. You see, you don't have to have a spoiled attitude. Matter of fact, I got up and said, look, if you'll let me be your pastor for about the next 30 minutes, I said, I promise you, I can help you. I said, now, we're not going to take an offering. And I got some laughs out of it. I got some out of it, too. But I thought it was funny. And a bunch of them thought it was funny. And then when they started laughing about it, the ones that were going kind of went, why is it that we get a sour attitude about everything? Spoiled souls have a way of smelling up everything around them. It's negative, it's nasty, it's sour, it's rotten, it's roadkill. How many of you have ever smelled one of those deer that popped open on the side of the road about August? And you drive by and you go, huh. That's called spoiled. Really bad spoiled. Oh, my boys, my dad's. Oh, I didn't even look at him because I knew he was thinking. We were out groundhog hunting one summer, and it was August. And the neighbor's farm, we were hunting, and he'd had a cow die, and he took it out, and he rolled it into the rock break to let it rot and let the critters take care of it. It had been there for a week in 100-degree weather. Uh-huh. And let me tell you, it looked like a giant trampoline about to burst. I mean, you saw legs about this long, and it looked like a giant balloon. Did you ever see a latex glove that you blow up and the finger holes go like this? That's exactly what that cow looked like. And I knew if you breathed too hard, it was going to pop. My son Josh, Dad! Watch this. I said, no. And I grabbed my other son. He was closer to me. I said, run. Because the wind was blowing right back at us. And that moron took a 243 and kapow. And when he did, it was the worst explosion you've ever seen. Fortunately, he was about 30 or 40 yards away. And wasn't standing right next to it. We had gotten just far enough out of the windage that he got a good snoot full and we didn't. And he's over there going, and Jeff and I are going, ha, 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 ha. Such defilement that you have never seen coming out of that critter. That was bad, Brother Jimbo. Oh, that was bad. We went back the next day, and you couldn't get within a half a mile of that part of the farm without going, not even hunting that field, not going close to it. Because it was just, did you know some people are that way? When you get around them, everything about them is negative, stinky, death, destruction, everything's bad. You don't have to live that way with a spoiled soul. Did you know that spoiled things grow parasites? Mold, slime, bacteria, botulism, you name it. You see, an unused soul gets critical, it gets negative, it gets gossipy, and it gets complacent. Everybody listen to me. I love you. Here it comes. The people in our church that complain the most are the ones that don't do anything. The ones that are busy don't complain. That's just the way it works. As our church grows, the ones that complain are going to be the ones that don't do much. the ones that are bringing visitors to church and working with the bus kids and teaching in Sunday school and helping in the nursery and being busy about doing things and working parking lot, working this, working that, you're not going to be the ones upset when somebody writes on the bathroom wall, but the ones that don't do anything are. So go ahead and get mad now. I'm going to write on it first. Y'all think I'm kidding. I'm not. We're just going to get it right out in the open right away. Yeah, preacher was here. We're not putting my picture there, though. Trust me. Can I tell you something? When you sit there long enough, you're going to grow parasites to make you get bitter and angry and start leeching off everybody else. You won't go soul winning, but you'll complain because somebody else didn't bring visitors that week. Where's yours? I didn't bring them today. We had a stack of visitors cards from 2018 about that high this last year. I took a picture of it. I mean, it's massive. I didn't count it. And we didn't get cards for every person that visited. That's not all of them. But some of you will complain if we don't have a visitor one week. Well, how many did you invite? How many did you work hard to bring? You see, your soul will spoil because you sit there doing nothing so long. Get up and do something. Do something. There's always something to do. When we get our new building and we need men to help park cars in the parking lot, not you parking them, but get people parked in the parking lot so that they don't hit each other. We're not going to have lines in the parking lot on gravel. Sorry, maybe eventually we will, but not right away. You're going to have to be kind. We're going to need greeters. We're going to need ushers. We're going to need more ladies to work in the nursery. We're going to need more choir. We're going to need help with the baptistry and changing. We're going to need people to help clean the building. We're going to need all those kinds of things. And some of you are going to complain if it didn't get done one week, but you didn't do anything to help it. Everybody doing all right? Okay, I'm having fun. Somebody say amen. So spoiling comes by sitting too long unused. Number two, spoiling comes by being cooked too long. Did you ever cook something to the point where it was just nasty? I am not going to even ask what was said. That cooking I have likened to a hot-headed soul, too hot-tempered. You see, we need to learn to react, or not react, with our temper. We need to learn to act with our temper. Well, I just have a short fuse. Your fuse is no shorter than anybody else's. You just leave it next to the candle. Can I tell you something? My wife will tell you, I have a short fuse, but I refuse to get it close to the spark. I can blow up really fast, but I have to temper myself not to, Brother Mike. I really do. There's things I see, ooh, man, I want to come unscrewed. She and I were somewhere, the DMV. That's enough to make anybody want to get mad. And I just simply looked at my wife and said, you talk to him because I'm going to get upset. I had already been to the point where I knew I would get upset. So I didn't do any of the talking at that point in time. Later, I got myself under control. I thought I could do it. And I did. But instead of getting angry, I stepped aside to control my anger. It took my daughter and my wife both sitting on my hands to do it, but we did it. Now, wait a minute. I knew that if I reacted, it was not going to be pretty. So I chose to act in such a way to where I didn't show my anger. We are to act, not react. If you know you have somebody that knows how to push your buttons, then quit letting them push your buttons. It doesn't mean you just never see that person, but you learn how to control the button. Everybody understand that? We need to not sit and stew over how people have hurt us. It just makes you spoiled. I preached a sermon a few weeks ago. Don't pick the scab. Too many people, they get mad about something, and then they sit there and think about it over and over and over and over and over and over again. You pick the scab. You're stewing. You're letting the heat get build back up to it. And eventually, you know, you can only eat leftovers so many times, and then they're not worth eating. You heat them up and put them back. You heat them up and put them back. Heat them up and, you know, after so long, it tastes like an old boot that's been drugged through the cow pasture. You see, why do we want to revisit the crime over and over and over and over and over and over again? Please don't get mad at me. This may be you, and I'm not mad at you, but I see, you know, you drive down the highway and you see all these shrines where people have been killed along the highway. I think that's one of the most dangerous things people can do, to go back and revisit where somebody died, and you want to stand right in the very spot where they died. Well, it's not going to bring them back. How about you go home and open up pictures that you have of the person and remember their life, not where they died? How about we remember the life, not the death? Some of you never get over grieving to a point because you keep revisiting that which hurts most. Too many people steep over the wrong. They look at the opposition. They look at the words that were said. They look at the pain that they felt, and they sit there and they steep over it. They let it boil and steam in there, and it builds up pressure, and you just sit there and you stew in all of that anger and hurt, and, well, somebody hurt me. Oh, God bless you. Don't you think everybody in this world that's past the age of 18 has been hurt before? And many before the age of 18. You see, many of you are like a football player, pardon my sports analogy, but many of you are like a football player who's a running back, and is all he sees is the defensive line. And if a running back is all he sees is the defensive line, he's not going to make much yardage. Right, Brother Mike? Say, what's happened? He's lost view of the goal line. His object is not the defensive line. His object is to get to the goal line. You look at those running backs that know how to run north-south, and they'll find a way to get through that defensive line. They're going to squirt through there like a booger through a handkerchief. Just, they're going to find a little crack or crease and zig and zag, and they're going to get through that thing. They're not focused on the defender. They're focused on that line down there. I got to get to the goal line. I've got to get to the first down line. You watch one of these football players and he knows he's a little short. You know, reach that ball out across the line because he knows he's got to get to that line. I like that kind of runner. Yep. Not because of anything, but he has a goal in mind and not going to let anything stop him. And in life, your soul will get spoiled when it's all you focus on is, it's all I see is the defenders. It's all I see is the attack. Well, look past it, get through it, and get to the goal line. Don't let the enemy get you off course or stop you. Keep on going. So, number one, spoiled things smell bad because they're unused. Next, spoiling comes because it's cooked too long. Number next, spoiling means diminished value. Do you know that something that is spoiled is not worth anything? If you went to the store and you bought a piece of steak and you took it home and it was spoiled, you opened it up and it smelled like roadkill, you're going to take it back and say, this steak is worthless. It's not worth anything. You see, spoiling means something is good, it's good in its usefulness, is not usable anymore. Hey, at one time it was, but now it's no longer usable. I don't believe you have to throw some things away that have spoilage on it either. How many of you have ever cut the rind off the cheese? You know, got a little bit of mold on it and cut that off, and cheese is nothing but mold anyway. It doesn't bother me. My wife, I'll cut that stuff off there and start eating. And I just cut the little spot out. I didn't even cut everything around it. Stronger the better. I was a little kid. My grandma cut the rind off the cheese. She threw it away. A little while later, they couldn't find me. I was standing over the trash can, grabbing that rind out, chewing on the rind. Grandma come back and said, "Oh, honey, if you want a piece of cheese, let's get you. I got both now." You say, "You didn't do that." Ask my dad. I did do that. You see, some things are just spoiled in a spot, and you cut the bad spot out. You might have a bad spot on a carrot or a tomato, and you just cut that little bad spot out and use the rest of it. You don't have to throw the whole thing out because there's one little spot that's bad. Some of you want to throw somebody's life away because they got one little bad spot in it. Can I tell you something? Thank God God didn't do that. Thank God God didn't throw us away because we had a spot in our life. It's something that's spoiled, not able to be used as long, or it's not sometimes good for public display, but it's still usable. Maybe you've done something and messed your life up. Okay, but you're still usable. You might not be a pastor in a church, but there's plenty of other things to do in a church other than pastor. Everybody doing all right? Our young people might grow up in our church, and some of them are going to make mistakes some of these days. Guess what? You keep your cotton-picking negative mouth shut about it. I'm going to try to restore them. The Bible says, "Ye which are spiritual, restore such a one." While you're stomping them, you're going to have to stomp on me first because I'm going to protect them. Well, you're just trying to cover up. Well, thank God their sin's covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. And when it's your kid, you're going to be thankful for it. We're going to have adults make mistakes, screw up. Guess what? I'm going to help them. Everybody doing all right? Say why? Because I believe we ought to restore everybody and everything we can restore. One bad spot doesn't label the whole life. One mistake in life doesn't mean the rest of the life has to go to the boogeyman. I don't care how bad it is. Can I tell you something? It wasn't totally worthless because it was good when it was fresh. How come we can't restore that which we can restore? By the way, don't let your enemy spoil you. Don't let your enemy have the satisfaction of ruining your attitude. You know the best way to get back at your enemy? Don't let him get you. My enemies hate it when I walk up to them and say, "Hey, how you doing? Good to see you." I told you, recently I was at the store and somebody's done everything they can to attack me. I walked up and said, "Hey, how you doing?" I reached my hand out and they said, But guess what? There was somebody not far away said, "Boy, he was friendly." I said, "That's okay, I'm Pastor Bush, how are you?" He said, "That guy wasn't happy to see you." I said, "That's his problem, not mine. I wasn't unhappy." He said, "Must have a burr under his saddle, because I didn't see anything wrong about what you did." I said, "Thank you." I was not about to let somebody's stinky, spoiled attitude bother me. Why should I get worried that somebody else is spoiled? Why should I let somebody else's stink bother me? I just thank God I didn't have to go home with it. Don't let your enemy spoil your soul and rob you and help you lose your attitude. I refuse to come down to where my enemy is at. I refuse it. Now, there are times I don't want to fight. And I got to muster up the courage, Brother Larry, to walk up and be nice. I do. It happened to me just couple months ago. I walked into Walmart. And I looked up, and I promise you, not the length of this auditorium away from me, was somebody that did everything they could to destroy me. And I thought, I could turn left and hit the pharmacy area and come around the store. And Brother Mike, I walked through that door, and I started to veer left, and the Holy Spirit said, "But I brought you here for them." No, you didn't. Yes, I did. Okay, Lord. And I walked over. They looked up at me and I said, "Hey, my brother, how are you?" I shook his hand. "Ow." His wife was standing there. And I said, how you doing?" And they began talking very cordially. And the Holy Spirit was going in my back. I said, "How's your family?" "Brother Mike," that man had a tear run down his face. He said, "Brother Bush," he said, "one of my children married now and has kids, and one of their kids has got a lot of physical issues, facing some surgery." And he said, "I wish you'd pray for him." And I said, "Let's pray." I put my hand on his shoulder, standing in the aisle at Walmart, and I prayed for that man and his grandchild. Amen. That man hugged me. I walked away weeping. "Brother Larry, I didn't want to face him. But I walked away under conviction, thank God. If I'd have walked away like I wanted to, I wouldn't have had that blessing." All it took was me swallowing my pride and listening to the Holy Spirit when I didn't want to. Being nice. Did you know even your enemy can get things right with God too? Maybe you need to give him a chance. Everybody doing all right? Isn't that the goal anyway? Boy, that's good stuff. Number 4, and I gotta hurry. Spoiling comes by not properly preserving. You know, how many of you have ever canned before or seen canning done? You know, you put everything in jars and put them in the cold packer and turn the heat up or put it in the pressure cooker and you cook them things forever and it's hot and it always happens in August because, and why in the world you got a can in August and it's already 300 degrees out and you stand over steamy hot water, boiling water, and then you take them out of that cold packer and put them on the counter on a towel or something, and then you wait for the of the jar lids. And sometimes you try to keep track of the, but every once in a while one doesn't go, and you didn't know it. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And you go to open it a couple months later, and it goes, there's no, and you think, And you look in there, and it's growing. And you say, "We ain't eating that." What happened? It didn't seal right. My mom made grape juice. We had a big Concord grapevine outside the house there. She made grape juice one year. My brother and I getting ready for school. She said, "You guys want some grape juice?" "Yeah, Mom." She popped that thing open and she poured it in. Well, it was fizzy. She didn't pay attention to it. She just pouring stuff out. I sat down and my brother took a sip and he went, I thought maybe it was just sour because I ate something, you know, I think we were having pancakes or something, so maybe it was the syrup that made it sour. So I took another sip. I said, "Mom, something's wrong with this grape juice. Shut up and drink it. Come on, you gotta get..." You know how moms get. My brother, he's over there, and, "Mom, something's wrong with this grape juice." "There's nothing wrong with it. Just drink it." Well, about the third, fourth chug from both of us, we said, "I ain't drinking that." She came over and she poured some in a cup and went, well, it was Catholic Lord's Supper wine. It moveth itself aright in the cup. It's a good thing we were being driven to school and not driving to school. It was fizzy. I don't know how many jars of that stuff there was like that that just didn't seal right. It spoiled and we couldn't tell. It looked the same as the others. It didn't taste the same. Now, wait a minute. Don't let your opposition or attacker break the seal of your soul. Too many people let the attacker unscrew that lid and let all the seal out. Then he screws it back on there. And you sit there and spoil and rot and seep in all of that anger and all of that disgust. Did you know it doesn't hurt your enemy at all? It only hurts you. No one can take your salvation from you. Folks, when I get attacked, I think about getting saved. Brother Mike, my name's written in heaven. It's in the Lamb's Book of Life, written by God Himself. Do you know I never have to face hell, Brother Jimbo? Do you know, thank God, Brother Donnie, I'm never going to be judged for my sins. Gone, gone, gone. Yes, my sins are gone, and they're never going to be put on a screen in heaven showing everybody what bad I did. All of them are not just forgiven, they've been pardoned. That means I'm set free. All the condemnation is gone. And Jesus added His righteousness, Brother Joe, to my account. So when God sees me, He sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Not only have my sins been washed away, pardoned, but He added Jesus' righteousness to my account. So that when He looks at me, He sees the life of Christ. By the way, it can't be taken back. It can't be given away. It can't be stolen away. I am saved no matter what happens in my life. You think after all of that I'm going to let somebody spoil my soul? Drop dead. There is nobody in this world that could get me that upset to where I'm going to get, I'm just a poor old Christian. Well, how about you get a dose of your salvation and think about it for a while? You have been sealed by the Holy Spirit of God for eternal life. Why are you going to let somebody spoil your soul when your spirit's been sealed? Everybody doing all right? Some of you are letting the enemy come in with the can opener and let all the air out. He ain't coming near me. I'll kick the can opener out. Or kick his can, whatever. I don't know where that came from. Did you know the worst thing your enemy can do to you is on earth? Let them talk. Let them wag their tongue. Let them show how foolish they are. I'm going to heaven. Don't have to worry about it. Amen. The Bible is the solvent or the pressurized to keep you from the attack. This is the coal packer. That's the pressure cooker. And that's what's going to seal you. Read it. Listen to it preached every service you can get to. Study it. Teach it to somebody else. Teach it to your kids, your grandkids. Teach it in Sunday school. Teach it somewhere. Go out soul winning and teach it to somebody. Can I tell you something? Learn to live it. You know, the Bible will change your life. I think it's good to read through your Bible in a year. But may I say this? Some of us get Catholic with reading our Bible mechanically. How about you just read it every day? I'd rather you read it every day than worry about reading through it in a year. Be doing all right? Let's take the pressure off. And let's not get spoiled. Let's get something out of it. Share it with others. A lot of times I'll text a bunch of folks in our church. And I'll text a scripture verse in the morning or something. I've had more than one person say, "Preacher, I needed that verse today. Preacher, I'm glad. Boy, thank you for that verse." Or later, "Man, I didn't realize how much I needed that verse today." Say, what is it? The Word of God will help you. It'll preserve your soul. I gotta quit. Are you really going to let some evil knuckle-headed opposer spoil your soul? Are you really going to let some lost person dying on the way to hell spoil your soul? Are you really going to let somebody that's evil and nasty and defiled and stinky and spoiled spoil you? It matters not how bad the opposition, we don't have to let it spoil us. If our enemy is spoiled, that's their problem. Why do we have to roll around in their spoilage? That's good. I can walk through the cow pasture, but it doesn't mean I got to lay down and roll around in the exhaust. Why do I want to roll around in the exhaust of spoiled people? God says you don't have to have a spoiled soul. So when you're attacked, can I tell you something? Run to the preserves. Run to the preserves. Let God help you keep from getting your soul spoiled. Because that, my friend, is how you live a joyful Christian life. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. Who would say, preacher? Boy, somewhere in that sermon, something I needed today. That was for me. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Dozens and dozens of hands. You may put them down. We're all going to face opposition. We're all going to face somebody mean, nasty. Maybe you've got a spoiled soul. You know what? You can fix it. We can cut that bad spot out and keep on going. Say, I've really blown it. Okay, cut it out. Let's keep going. The whole thing we don't have to throw away.